WJR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden spent the day talking to Democrats about his debate performance and even addressed concerns among voters in a radio interview with Earl Ingram on Civic Media in Wisconsin.
I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that, I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
He says he has no plans to drop out. Hurricane Beryl's brushing past Jamaica as it heads towards the Cayman Islands. National Hurricane Center Director Mike Brennan's tracking it.
Everybody's going to want to stay sheltered in place through the rest of the day, through tonight. And again, heavy rainfall playing out as well.
The holiday travel rush is on for the 4th.
We knew to get on the road by 8:30 or it would be a nightmare.
Stephanie Lutz dodging major traffic on I-95 today in Maryland. She could be one of more than 60 million drivers on the road this weekend, according to AAA. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram he knows exactly what he means when Donald Trump remarked about what he called black jobs during last week's debate.
You know what he's doing. It's shameful. He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do for manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it.
You can hear Earl's entire interview with President Biden tomorrow morning between 8 and 10 across the Civic Media radio network. Biden campaigns in Wisconsin on Friday. Wisconsin is getting $49 million to boost its biohealth industry. Wisconsin is one of 12 regional tech hub finalists around the country. Wisconsin aims to create 30,000 biotech jobs and become a global leader in personalized medicine. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. 8 hunters in Wisconsin will be able to hunt elk during the 2024 elk season this year. The DNR announcing the winners said 4 hunters are able to hunt in the Black River Elk Zone for the first time since elk were reintroduced to the state. Over 25,000 applications were submitted between April 10th through May 31st. In the Clam Lake Elk Zone, the winning applicants are from Green Bay, Madison, Hortonville, and Birchwood. For the Black River Elk Zone, the 4 hunters are from Athens, Toma, the Waupun area, and Wisconsin Rapids. The elk hunting season opens Saturday, October 12th. United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties is looking for volunteers to help with the point-in-time count July 24th and 25th. This is the semi-annual survey to gather a snapshot of homelessness in our community. You can contact Ben Eberlein at 715-421-0390. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks meet with the media. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks introduced their 2 new draft picks, Tyler Smith and first-round pick A.J. Johnson, who was asked what's his motivation to play in the NBA.
My family is one of my biggest motivations. I feel like just my obsession of just wanting to be like an unstoppable basketball player. That's like my ultimate motivation every single day.
Some big transactions already in free agency, like Golden State saying goodbye to Klay Thompson, Bucks GM John Horst.
You know, we've seen a couple of those fall so far. There'll be a couple others that fall today. We feel very confident that we'll be able to get the right fits to finish off this roster.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Rockies gained 3 of their 4-game series. Milwaukee winning 4-3 last night, snapping a 6-game losing streak at Coors Field. Pat Murphy asked if it's tough for his pitchers playing in mile-high Denver.
Oh, yeah. It's no fun pitching here, that's for sure. But it's about, like, okay, it's part of the league. We got to do it. It's a rule. We got to play them. Got to play them here. We asked to get the games moved, and they wouldn't do it.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, low 60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day and evening. High, low 80s. And more rain possible Friday, clouds in low 70s. Partly sunny for the weekend, still some storms possible, highs in the 70s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Summer is here and the sun is unforgiving. Be your child's hero this summer by keeping them safe in the summer heat and don't miss a beat. Wham Incorporated is here to help. Summer is for family trips, team championships, and long days at the beach. Design your child or team's gear in a flash with fully customizable polyester shirts and shorts. Call 715-423-9465 for Wham Incorporated today and get back out into the summer sun and enjoy the adventure without the burn.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is the 4th of July. We are off, but we do have a specially curated best of special for you tomorrow. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this July 3rd, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part one, and for the whole half an hour here, we're going to be speaking with Lieutenant Scott Sager. Scott is joining us to talk a little bit about his career as he's wrapping things up. We want to thank our friends over at the Wood County Sheriff's Department for doing that. We also want to thank our great friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here. Always appreciate Joe and the gang. Do yourself a favor. If you haven't done so already, go to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to their page. Keep up to date and all the great work they're doing, and support them like they support us. Scott, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to spend the first 5 minutes ripping on Sean? Because I feel like we can. He's not here, and he kind of stood us up a little bit on everything. So no, we can't do that. I don't even know what I'd come up with, to be honest with you, man. But we do want to send a shout out to Sean. Appreciate the time whenever he is able to join us. Scott, thank you again for being here. I want to get into your career as you are retiring soon. When is your retirement exactly?
I've got a retirement date of August 5th.
Okay, all right.
So coming up here in next 4 weeks.
Well, I got a bunch of questions, but just off the top of my head, my first one, how are you feeling about it?
Well, it was a tough decision to make. It was a hard day, the day that I decided that was going to be the date. It's bittersweet. This is all I've known all my life. Serving the communities and the jurisdictions I work in, sits deep with me. It means a lot to me to help people out in their worst days. I'm ready for the next chapter of my life. And yeah. I just have to be able to separate and let that part go. It's been all my life, my career. And it's something I've been proud of and very much enjoy coming to work to every day for all the years.
Yeah.
And I think that says a lot for anybody that can enjoy, going to their job every day.
That I love that phrase. Yeah, you enjoy what you do. You never work a day in your life.
Right,
it's a great phrase. Before we go too much further into the future here, let's rewind a little bit. Let's go back. First off, what got you to want to be in this service? What got you to want to do this for a career?
Well, it's back in the high school days. I was a senior in high school. I was halfway through my senior year. I'm a local here, born and raised in Wisconsin Rapids. I was at Lincoln High School halfway through and didn't know for sure what I was going to do. My father was a carpenter of trade, I was thinking about, getting into carpentry and the trades, and he was kind of trying to talk me out of that, trying to do something different. I talked to a couple of police officers halfway through my career, and just kind of piqued my interest. And the more and more I started kind of digging into it and learning more about it, the more and more I just got more interested. And that's, I think I found my niche of what I wanted to do. So
something sparked in you about it.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And it was not until halfway through high school, senior year.
Was it one of those, because I know this happened for me when I was at Lincoln too. We had times where they came in, officers that were currently enlisted came in and talked to us as students and everything and kind of told us about what it is to be in a police officer or a sheriff and some of that. That I know that even piqued my interest as a kid. Was something like that what helped get you started on this path?
No, it was more kind of an off-duty type scenario. Mm-hmm. Outside the school,
yeah,
I should say.
Yeah.
And they didn't really have a lot of that when I was in high school. And that
I bring it up in part because I imagine sometimes you don't know who you're impacting doing those when you go to schools and everything. I know it did me, and I know I had a friend that it was really impacted by it and really got them to. They had never thought about being an officer before, and it really got them to end up thinking about doing that. Just so you and the team knows, you know, that stuff really does help. It really does go a long ways when you're visiting schools, when you're talking with kids. I think it's a great point what you're bringing up too. We talk all the time, Sheriff Becker and I, about building that bridge stronger and stronger between community and law enforcement. And when you stop and you shoot a couple hoops with kids, or you just stop and say hi, and it's nothing more than just one citizen and another talking and everything, that builds bridges, sure, but you also don't know what spark could be started from something like that, where when you're driving away and a little kid's like, that looks like a pretty cool job, like I might want to do something like that. We can have no shortage of that. Again, something else that Sean and I talk about, when he was first going into this and enlisting and being and wanted to be in this job, and the amount of people that were going for it and the amount of people that now go for it. We need more and more good people getting into these services, getting into these jobs. So any chance to start those sparks sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, just this morning I was at a local business picking up some product, and there was a mother out there with two young kids, and I was just getting ready to get back in my squad, and she asked if the kids were interested. They're wanting to sit in the car, and I'm like, yeah, we can definitely do that. So open the door and, you know, showed them a couple of things inside and told them, explained some of the basics, you know, the radio and the radar and the computer system, and they wanted to see the back seat, and our back seats have a plastic kind of a plastic seat, hard seat in the back, and they said that the definitely didn't look comfortable. I said, yeah, it's definitely a place that you typically don't want to be in if you don't have to.
But anyway. Hopefully the last time you see the backseat. But yeah, especially as kids, whatever gets them interested, whatever kind of gets them to see, you know, hey, it's more than what you see on the outside. I think that's really also hopefully create some empathy in these kids. Whether they go into law service or not, the more information they know about what it like to be in that vehicle, to be in that position, to be in that job, hopefully the more and more empathy we create for that too when it comes to our society and having more and more kids growing up and seeing, oh, this is the line of defense we have as a community, and they understand that a little bit more. How long have you been in the position?
I've been an officer for 30 years, and a few years before that I had 3 years on the Wood County Reserves, starting in 91, 92, and 93, where I did the park patrol and the kind of the more of a summertime type of application or special events that go through the year. Jobs were tough to find back in the early 90s here. You know, if we had one position open at a police department or a sheriff's department, there was typically 200 to 300 applicants that would be applying for one position. So, and some of those were, you know, previous officers with prior experience, you know, versus, you know, the young guys just kind of out of the academy with zero experience. So anything to get involved with, you know, on the job type training. I got involved with the auxiliaries, Wisconsin Rapids Police Department on their auxiliary, where it's a volunteer, you know, situation there where you come in uniform, but do special events and do some ride-alongs with officers. But anything to build some history and, you know, some free on-the-job training experiences.
I was going to ask this a little bit later, but as long as we're talking about it, kind of go right into, when it comes to people that are out there listening that may want to look into law enforcement as a career and find out more about it, are those some of the things you would suggest of kind of getting your feet in the water a little bit? The ride-along seems like a great idea.
Yeah, our department does ride-alongs. If there are people interested in, you know, thinking about making that a career path, we're more than willing to accommodate schedules and make something work out, even if it's for a few hours. Some people request, you know, hey, can I ride an entire 12-hour shift? And usually on the first one, we recommend, you know, 3 to 4 hours just to kind of get a taste of it. And if they're interested, you know, we can bring them back another time or two. And then after that stage, typically, we recommend auxiliaries applying for our Wood County Reserve program, which is a great stepping stone into a full-time career. We understand most of our part-time reserves don't typically stick around for more than a couple of years because it is a stage in their life, and they move on to bigger and better and on to full-time careers. So.
When it comes to influences, you mentioned, you know, there was something that sparked you from a young age or when you were in high school about this. As you get into the job, you get into the profession, were there people that impacted it for you that helped guide you in this job?
There were a couple friends of my parents that were officers in town here for the Rapids PD. And I had a chance to have some conversations with them after I was, you know, definitely getting my interest sparked as far as making it a career. And after speaking with them, you know, they had given me the pros and cons and kind of let me make a decision on what direction I wanted to go. But yeah, and after that, it just really seemed to start coming together, getting on the auxiliaries. Then I got on right away. I started getting experience doing some volunteering and working on special events and the football games and parades and things like that. It just, before I knew it, I was had a couple auxiliaries. I got on the Town of Rome Auxiliary in Adams County as well. It just one thing led to another, to part-time work, to full-time work.
Was there anything that was really a situation, a conversation, anything like that, that was really impactful while you've been in the position, while you've been doing this? I cannot imagine the hard days that can come from a job like this. Things that help get you through or help get you through those early, you know, tough days.
Yeah, basically, any time that we can help someone, especially on their bad days, whether it's a medical issue or whether it's an incident related issue, just being able to be there and provide a service to them is the most rewarding part. I've had a lot of medical calls over the years. I've done a lot of CPR, seen, you know, people at their worst time, try to bring them back into the world. Not always, you know, the sunshine, rainbows, you know, making it all happen. But people do expire as well. But just knowing that you're there to help people and move forward with making their day better.
Were there some moments, and hopefully there were a lot of them, and this is a tough question for you, hopefully, were there some moments that really stood out to you in your career that, like, man, I'm so thankful I have this job. I'm so thankful to be in this position. Certainly I can think of there were moments where you were doing things like you were just touching on there and mm-hmm. helping people or what have you. Any events, like, you know, I'm thinking of things like the jump in the water.
Polar plunge.
Polar plunge. Thank you.
Sure.
Jeez,
sure.
Man, Joe, where I need to polar plunge. No, I'm kidding. but yes, polar plunge events like that, that were really fun to be a part of. Were there things that stand out to you in your career that you really enjoyed like that?
Yeah, things like that. Anything with community involvement. The polar plunge was a great time for everybody to get together. You know, people love to see the cops jump in and get cold and wet. We've done all kinds of community, you know, interacting with cops on a rooftop and coffee with a cop and, you know, all types of different things.
Touch a truck events.
Touch a truck. And I've shown our armored vehicle, you know, numerous times and had people, hundreds and hundreds of people in and out of it. And they ask, you know, a million questions, which they should, and answer all their questions for them and explain the reasons why, you know, we have something like that. And after they have a conversation with you and you enlighten them, they totally understand, you know, reasons that that would be beneficial.
Yeah. We're speaking with Lieutenant Scott Sager from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Scott is going to be retiring in August. We're having a conversation about his career and talking about some of the different things that he's experienced through it. And one of the things that I was curious about, Scott, is as much as time as I've spent with you guys, and I've learned more about this, and being honest with the audience and you guys, as you well know, I know both sides of this job in some ways, being a former knucklehead that I am and everything. But one of the things that I always like to ask is finding out different stuff that we wouldn't know as citizens, things that you guys experience or do, things that stand out to you about the job that might be insightful for others that we wouldn't know from a TV show or something like that, but that we can hear from the from you yourself. Is there things that stand out to you about the job and your career in doing the job that, you know, you don't think your average person would know about?
Yeah, some of the, you know, without getting into great details, the calls that you get, that you think no one else would probably ever want to go to, or much less experience. You know, the death scenes, the car crashes, the fatal car crashes, domestic incidents, where people are assaulted. There's other things too that I was involved with over the years. I was on our investigations department as a drug officer for 4 years. Did a lot of things on there that I never thought I'd ever be a part of. Some pretty interesting, missions, if you will, and working undercover. I'm the commander for our special response team. Been on our special response team now for all the 19 years I've been at the sheriff's department, and definitely have seen some different range of calls, call outs or warrant services that we have done. And at times we have brought, civilian members of our community along with us on some of the calls, and keep them inside the armored vehicle in a safe location. But just to be able to experience that kind of stuff, because that is something that not everyone sees on a regular basis, and how you have to interact with people and be safe coming home at night or in the morning if it's a nighttime versus daytime. Just a kind of a whole total different approach.
Yeah. It's we take so much from TV, movies, and think that we have an insight, or we understand a little bit more of these jobs, and not just what you do, but certainly almost anything that you see on entertainment and everything. But it's one of the things that I like to bring up to people, especially when it comes to this topic, or even in recent years when it comes to law enforcement, is what you see on TV, it cannot be more scripted. When an officer shows up, there is no script. This is improv. There is no, you're trained, and certainly trained very well for these, but you have no idea what that person's going to say, or what's going to happen, or what their mood is, or their mindset, or any of these things. And oftentimes you're doing this with people you've never met before. So the importance of us having some empathy and understanding of that. I appreciate the things that you brought up as well, because part of the reason I wanted to talk about this is I think a lot of people think, well, a police officer or a sheriff's job is this. And there is so much more put on your all plates that weren't when you first started this job.
Right.
It's important for us as a community to not only know this, so that we certainly have some appreciation for the work that's being done, mm-hmm. but also some understanding of, I would hope, some understanding of what is being asked of our police officers, what is being asked of our sheriff's department in these things. I don't think that enough people are understanding of really the full encompassment of all that is, especially for people like yourself that have been doing this for 30 years, where you started and what's being asked of you now. That's very different worlds. And sure. While we appreciate the work that you're doing, I don't think it's asking a lot for our community to have some empathy and understanding of it as well.
Sure. And, we all have hats to wear. As a police officer, we wear a lot of different hats from daily. But it takes all of us in the community to make the world go around. People say, I definitely couldn't do your job. And, honestly, I could say probably the same thing at certain jobs that other people have, that everybody's kind of cut out for something. And that takes us all together to make it all happen.
That's a good way to put that. Yeah. Scott, as we're wrapping up here, I did have just a couple of other questions for you. When it comes to, I'm really hoping with this interview here that not only you have enjoy yourself, you have a good time. We get some great content for us and, of course, with South Rescue and Media. But one thing I did want to hope to do is encourage and maybe get a spark in somebody. And maybe somebody out there is listening and it gives them an idea to want to do this and go into law enforcement and everything. What was some of the, if any, advice that you received or that you would give to somebody that is looking to get into this field?
Probably the biggest message is just to be able to treat people the way that you want to be treated. That definitely goes a long ways in your career. Seeing that I work and live in the community that I work in, I see people on the streets, at Walmart or at a restaurant or wherever it may be while I'm off duty. And it's somebody that I dealt with, maybe in the recent past or the distant past. And they come up and say, thank you to me of, hey, you're really decent with me. You treated me with respect. And even though that, at face value, stern instructions you give somebody, but you still need to have that level of respect and treat people with respect like a human being, just the way you would want to be treated. So honestly, the biggest message for me is just treat people the way you want to be treated, and that'll take you through your whole career.
Well said. You know, speaking of things that you can do next and everything, you want to look in the radio, man. You're doing great. You're really good on the radio. You got a great voice. Everything might be something to look into. That is fantastic advice. Appreciate that, Scott. And absolutely. As for what's next for you, not to pry or you know, yep. even ask you questions that you may not know the answers to yet. What are you looking forward to about next for you after this?
Yeah, no problem. So for the last 9 to 10 years, I've been the drone coordinator for our department, and the more and more I've got involved with our drone program and flying our drones for, you know, search and rescue and tactical operations and just different requests, some type of photography type stuff, and I basically found a niche and had a couple of people that helped me along in the drone world there, kind of point me in a direction of getting into aerial crop dust spraying, like ag spraying. So with the heavyweight drones. So this past year I got all my certifications and licensing and whatnot. So I'm going to be doing a bunch of agricultural spraying with the heavyweight drones.
Man, that sounds awesome. I've actually gotten into a little of that myself, just in interest. I haven't done anything yet, but I've watched a lot of videos and I've researched it a bit because it just seems like something that would be really cool to do. If you get a chance, you, anybody out there, if you haven't seen our national parks, every one of them have had some drone footage done, mm-hmm. and it's just incredible. Incredible what they can pick up and what they can do with those things now, and the detail, the 4 or 5K, whatever they're up to now, 12K, whatever it is, it just really does feel like you're there. Like, it's just amazing stuff that they're able to do with those now, and that's going to be a fun gig, I imagine. That's going to be very to keep you busy, give you something enjoyable to do, and get a creative outlet there as well. That should be a lot of fun.
There's definitely a few different jobs, you know, that can be done with them, but not just the spray drones, but we also have the camera thermal drones. We help people that can't find their deer in the fall with a thermal drone, helping with deer recovery too. So
what they have done for missing people, like that alone, has made them such an asset to law enforcement, to us as a community. It really is interesting to see where the evolution of those and how much we're finding different uses for them and everything.
Right. Yeah, I told Sheriff Becker if he ever needed any type of search and rescue type stuff done with drone, just a phone call away, and we'll definitely come in and provide that service free of charge to, you know, to the community and give back.
Very cool. And appreciative, and also speaks completely to the service that you and so many of your brothers and sisters have done when it comes to this job, because one of the things that Sheriff Becker and I have also talked about is how you guys retire, quote unquote retire, but you never really leave the gig. Your heart is still there. You got friends and people and colleagues that are still in law enforcement, so you're still going to be paying attention, still going to be certainly having your heart in that world in many ways. We know this also from so many people who will not let go of a cold case, and so many officers out there that will keep working on that case long into retirement. I always like to shout out those individuals and show our appreciation to them, because that you talk about above and beyond. I don't know if you can come up with a better description than above and beyond of the service when you continue to, even into retirement, which so many of you guys do. We greatly appreciate that. As we let you go, Scott, I'm curious. You take a step back, look at your career in a third-person perspective. Legacy is such a big word, and I don't think it has to mean as much as we think it can mean and everything, but what do you kind of hope your impact, your footprint on this job and this community has been?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, not a tough question at all to wrap up on. Easy one to wrap up on.
I'm just another officer out there doing a job, providing service to the community. As far as anything specific to our community or our department, probably the most passion that I've had there is my involvement with the special response team. I just really want to see that team continue to grow and flourish and provide a service to the community, help keep our community members safe when the call comes in that, you know, our regular patrol officers are needing extra help for tactical missions or operations to be able to execute those as safely as possible, and still working with community neighboring jurisdictions you know, whether it's, you know, with Marshfield PD or Rapids PD or Portage County, Pullover PD, you know, neighboring counties, Marathon County, we work with so many neighboring jurisdictions to get to the same end result, to resolve a situation peacefully.
Scott, I can't thank you enough for the time, putting up with my questions, hanging out with us and everything. But most importantly, I want to thank you for your service and everything you've done for this community. We really deeply appreciate you, sir. And thank you for the time. Give Sean a hard time for me, will you?
Will do. Thank you, James. I appreciate the time.
Good to see you. And enjoy retirement. I hope you enjoy it. And thank you again for the time.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Big thank you to Joe and our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here. Be sure to go into your search bar on YouTube. Type in Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page. Keep up to date with the great work they are doing. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up on the morning on WFHR locally grown radio.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
The 2425 Local in Lovin' It Mini Magazine is available now out in your community. Once again, you can pick up your books at participating businesses and nonprofits. For just $20, you can enjoy recipes, jokes, contests, and best of all, save tons of money in the area. You can even find great deals on food, drinks, golf, groceries, and most of the area boutiques. In need of a service? Enjoy savings on tires, paint, windows, travel, and mobility equipment. And now you can receive $10 a month at Ho-Chunk Casino in Nakusa. Don't forget, you can also play contests and win gift certificates within your community. Listen for Local and Lovin' It radio ads throughout the month on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR and 105.5 FM WIRI, and get your books at businesses like Lake Arrowhead Golf, Goodfellas Pizza Pub and Eatery in Nakusa, Ida Sports Bar and Grill, Quality Foods IGA at West Grand and Baker Drive, Savory Steakhouse in Kellner, Sherwood Lodge Bar and Grill in Rome, and Sportsman's Pub and Grill. Let the savings begin with Local and Lovin' It mini magazine, available today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Here we... What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball returns for the second half of this 2024 Northwoods League season. Andy Ockham, Rafters Radio, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. WFHR, whether you're listening on those aforementioned FM AM stations or on your civic media apps, thanks so much for spending your Wednesday nights here with us. Back-to-back off days for the Rafters Monday, Tuesday, after four consecutive battles with the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders to round out their first half of the season, finds them here in the state capital, Warner Park, for the fifth time out of six total matchups on the road against the Madison Mallards this season. Rafters last played the Mallards a couple of weeks ago back at home. But what happened the last time the Rafters were in action in general? It was a Sunday matinee at historic Witterfield against those aforementioned Fond du Lac Dock Spiders. Final score, 8-4, 8 runs, 9 hits, 2 errors, 7 left on for your Rafters. 4 runs, 6 hits, an error, and 10 left on for Fondy. Ricky Williams got the start. It was his final start in outing as a Wisconsin Rapids Rafter, going 2 2/3 innings, allowing 2 hits, 3 runs. 3 were earned, all of them in that matter. He walked 4 and struck out 2 on 73 pitches. From there, it was another final appearance as a Wisconsin Rapids Rafter for the left-hander from Siena College, and the most recent commit of Wichita State University, Arnaud Mulemekic, the left-hander, was nearly flawless in his final outing as a Rafter, going 3 1/3 innings, allowing 1 hit, no runs, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts on 55 pitches. Maddox Thornton collected the save, and got the final nine outs, going three innings, allowing three hits, one run, which came in the top of the ninth, allowing one walk and three strikeouts on 54 pitches. Rafters big innings in this one. Fond du Lac got three of their four runs in the third, and obviously they added that one in the ninth. For Wisconsin Rapids, though, it all came in the middle innings. Two in the fourth, one in the fifth, two in the sixth, and three in the seventh. You look at how they took advantage as well in that seventh inning, which really set them apart at the end. It was walks. Mason Onati, Jack Mathey, and Grayson Schaefer. 2-3-4 led off the inning. Onati drew a four-pitch walk and later scored. Mathey, the second hitter to open the inning, drew a six-pitch walk and later scored. After Schaefer's sack fly, it was Jorge Degatti, the five-hole hitter, drawing a five-pitch walk and scoring later on as well. Three times scored for Jorge Degatti, who went 0-for-1 in four plate appearances, but drew those three walks and scored all three times on the bases. It's Coley Kilpatrick on the mound again for Madison. It's the third time the right-hander is facing the Raptors in this season. This will be matchup 9 of 10 total. For Wisconsin Rapids on the mound, it'll be Bryson Moore, the right-hander out of the University of Virginia, Fairfax, Virginia, making his second start in appearance as a Raptor. Made his debut last Thursday night on the road at Hare Baker Field. As we look at our starting lineups in this evening's ballgame, Owen McElfatrick for Wisconsin Rapids will lead off at second base. Cashel Duggar getting moved up in the order. The catcher from UCLA will do the catching tonight and bat second. Jack Mathey is the DH in the three spot. Max McGuire will clean things up at first base. Jorge Degatti will hit fifth in right field. Trotter Boston, the left-handed hitting infielder from Tabor College, will bat sixth and play third. Walker Buchanan begins the bottom third by hitting seventh and playing left. And then the 8-9 spots are both left-handed bats for Kirk Schreider here this evening. Aiden Teal in center, Tracer Lopez in right field. For Donnie Scott's Madison Mallards, he's running out six left-handed bats here tonight. Jake Schaffner leading off at second base. Davis Hamilton hitting second and at third. Corbin Dickerson will hit third in center. Blake Guerin, the big power-hitting first baseman from the University of Iowa, will play first and clean things up. Did not see Guerin in the series a couple weeks ago, which the Raptors swept Madison at historic Winter Field. Get to the rest of the Madison order here in a minute. It is Owen McElfatrick to step in and lead off the ball game here against Kilpatrick. The right-hander rocks and fires first pitch of the ball game. This is low and away to McElfatrick for ball one, and we are underway here at Warner Park. Righty on righty battle here, and when you look at Kilpatrick, matching now three starts against the Raptors this season. 1-0 pitch swung on and missed by McElfatrick. Count evens 1-1. North Carolina A&T product is the 6'3 right-handed senior Kilpatrick, a native of Raleigh, North Carolina. This is his sixth outing of the season, so out of his six, half have come here against the Raptors. The 1-1 to McElfatrick. Fastball missing low and away for ball two. Last outing of the first half for Kilpatrick. Back on the 27th, he threw 4 2/3 innings and a 4-3 win here at the Duck Pond over the Green Bay Rockers. The 2-1 pitch to McElfatrick. Breaking ball, hit on the ground over on the right side. Coming in charging, the second baseman Schaffner gloves cleanly and will throw to first in time. It's a 4-3 putout of McElfatrick to begin this ballgame. In those 4 2/3 for Kilpatrick here at home against Green Bay on the 27th, he allowed 6 hits, 3 runs, all were earned. He walked 1 and struck out 2 while facing 19 batters. His only outing away from Warner Park this year was back on June 7th, his second appearance at Winter Field against the Raptors when Wisconsin Rapids fell 6-2 on that Friday night. It's Cashel Duggar, the left-handed hitting catcher. First pitch from Kilpatrick misses low and away for ball one. Kilpatrick entering today a 5.64 earned run average and a 1.48 whip and 22 and a third innings pitched. The 1-0 pitch from the right-hander to Duggar. This is up and away, counting out 2 balls and no strikes. Rest of that Mallard order, we left off on the cleanup hitting first baseman, Blake Guerin. Will Vierling doing the catching tonight for Madison will hit fifth. Justin Best, the DH, will bat sixth. Cal Fisher, a returning Mallard in the seventh spot, will play short. Frankie Carney out in left field will hit eighth. And Charlie Marion from Madison College rounds out the group by batting ninth in right field as the 2-0 pitch fired in for a strike on a fastball to Cashel Duggar. Looking at Duggar, now just one of two catchers on the Raptor roster. Him and the man in the on-deck circle, Jack Mathey. 2-1 breaking ball from Kilpatrick lands, and it's 2-2. Game 13 here for Duggar in a Raptor uniform. He's a 364 hitter so far. 12 hits and 33 at-bats. The 2-2 home from Kilpatrick. Fastball hit in the air, shallow right field. Coming in on it, Marion leaving his feet, diving to make the grab. Charlie Marion robs Cashel Duggar of a one-out single. 2 up, 2 down for Kilpatrick here in the first inning. Umpires for this evening's ballgame, that's Dustin Ragsdale behind home plate, Jacob Cackett down the first baseline, Frankie Sheeney down the third baseline. Jack Matthew, the other Rafter catcher on the roster, the junior formerly of Ohio Dominican, now of Kent State University, playing in his 23rd game with the Rafters here this summer. Matthew, a 278 hitter in the first half, 20 hits, 72 at-bats, an OPS sitting just over 900 at 908. First pitch breaking ball from Kilpatrick to the right-handed hitting Matthew catches the zone for a called strike. Matthew 2-for-4 in the final game of the first half with a run scored and a run driven in against those Dock Spiders. A one pitch, fastball fouled back. Beyond the first base stands, count quickly nothing and two on the Raptor DH this evening. Start of a home-and-home here with Madison. The Mallards will come to Witterfield tomorrow for a Thursday matinee, the 4th of July Independence Day. 105 first pitch in Wisconsin Rapids. The 0-2. That one misses up and in, gets past the catcher Vierling's glove to the backstop. Count now a ball and two strikes. Rafters at home a lot here to begin this second half. This is just one of three road games between now and when they leave for the Michigan trip on Sunday, July 14th. The 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball hit on a hot shot over to third. Backhand glove by Hamilton. He'll gather and throw to first in time to retire the side. Cole Kilpatrick works a 1-2-3 top of the first inning against the Raptors. We head to the home half. Bryson Moore out to the mound in his second start as a Wisconsin Rapids Raptor when we return here from Warner Park on your home for Raptor Baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
With combined decades of experience, the team at Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help with exterior projects ranging from siding, roofing, windows, and gutters. The new exterior showroom helps complete the 3D visualizer picture and will bring any project you're dreaming of to life. Wisconsinites know the weather changes fast and can be unforgiving. Call 715-423-5616 for a dedicated and caring team that will be there to help from start to finish. Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help.
Let's scream for Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, Wisconsin.
Enjoy the best ice cream for miles. From opening day to all those summer nights, you'll find the owners and staff there to serve you, and you'll recommend it to others, too.
Great family-owned business. Love seeing their smiling faces. You just know they love being there. They go above and beyond for their customers. Ice cream is great, too. So many different choices. There's something for everyone.
Swiftwater Ice Cream, where the choices and fun are endless.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and Central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
Find your perfect fit at Mid-State Technical College. You wear many hats. Family, friends, hobbies, career, maybe more. Let Mid-State make finding your career hat easier with in-demand programs and certificates, flexible class scheduling, and unmatched support for your success. Even transfer your credits to a four-year university. Mid-State is here to help you find your perfect fit and make time for it all. Learn more at mstc.edu/perfectfit.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
The right-hander Bryson Moore out of the University of Virginia and Fairfax, Virginia, takes to the mound here in the home half of the first inning from Warner Park. Nothing the score. Two in the Mallards and your Rafters on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. First pitch from the right-hander Moore into the left-handed hitting Jake Schaffner. Is called a strike. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Raptors, returning to you here for the second half of the season. You can catch the rest of the action from now until the middle of August right here on locally grown radio. A one breaking ball from Moore to Schaffner misses the outside corner. Count evens at a ball and a strike. Schaffner, 20 games in the first half for the freshman out of North Dakota State University in Janesville. Moore out of the windup. The 1-1 pitch. This one is sprayed foul down the left field line. That'll find the seats. Quickly 1-2 on the leadoff hitter in the Mallard order. Schaffner, a 429 hitter in 56 at-bats in his 20 games in the first half. 24 hits, 56 at-bats, an OPS over 1,100 for the second baseman. The 1-2 from Bryson Moore. Fastball hit in the air opposite field, tailing near foul territory. That'll find the seats. Walker Buchanan giving chase will do the 1-2 again. Defensively for the Raptors, it's two of Bryson Moore's Virginia Cavalier teammates in the outfield backing him up, that being Walker Buchanan in left and Aiden Teal in center. Jorge Degatti will play right on the infield left side. At third is Trotter Boston. Tracer Lopez is at short. On the right side, Owen McElfatrick at second and Max McGuire at first. Cashel Duggar throwing down the signals this evening for Bryson Moore. The next 1-2 delivery. Breaking ball, just missing the outer edge again. Count evens 2-2. Moore worked three innings of one-hit, one-run ball at Hare Baker Field on the 29th of June. His Raptor debut, he walked two and struck out three Fond du Lac hitters out of the 12 he faced. 2-2, and on the hand, Schaffner pops this one up. Foul territory down the third baseline, giving chase near the Mallard dugout is Duggar in Boston. This one ends up in the Mallard dugout. So another 2-2 pitch coming here in the leadoff battle in this home half of the first inning. Raptors went down in order 1-2-3 against Coley Kilpatrick, who is making his third start against the Raptors. This is game 9 of 12 between Wisconsin Rapids and Madison here this summer. Game 10 tomorrow in Wisconsin Rapids. Games 11 and 12 will be at the end of the month, a home-and-home Saturday, July 27th here at the Duck Pond. Sunday the 28th, a matinee at Winter Field. The 2-2. Fastball hit in the air left field once again, tailing away, and that'll find the stands. A lot of souvenirs given out here in this battle between Bryson Moore and Jake Schaffner. On deck for Madison, another left-handed hitter, Davis Hamilton, Corbin Dickerson, one of the three right-handed bats in Donnie Scott lineup here tonight will follow. The 2-2, breaking ball hit in the air, tailing down the left field line in foul territory. Another one into the seats. Count remains 2 balls and 2 strikes. A 5:35 earlier first pitch here. Normally you'll see 6:05. 6:35, but getting an earlier start here with the holiday. I don't even know if you can't really call it a holiday weekend. This is Wednesday, but 4th of July tomorrow, and then we'll get into for most people we'll have as a 4-day weekend starting tomorrow. 2-2, breaking ball. Schaffner fouls this one away again down the third baseline. Fascinating battle here between Moore and Schaffner to start this ball game. This will be the 10th pitch here from the right-hander. Another 2-2 coming home here from Moore to Jake Schaffner. Fastball, this one hit in the air, left field, tailing near foul territory. Boston giving chase as is Lopez. He's unable to grab it. Pitch number 11 here between Schaffner and Bryson Moore to follow. We get to the top of the second inning. It'll be Max McGuire, Jorge Degatti, and Trotter Boston, righty-righty-lefty against Coley Kilpatrick. Kilpatrick threw 13 pitches in the top half of this inning. This is going to be the 11th pitch to the leadoff batter alone. Moore once again getting the signals from Duggar, the payoff pitch. Breaking ball got him swinging. Bryson Moore wins the lengthy battle to begin this home half of the first inning. It'll be Davis Hamilton. In fellow North Dakota State product. Third season here in Madison was a 291 hitter in 28 games in the first half for these Mallards. Another righty on lefty battle. First pitch for Moore to him. Breaking ball. Swung on and missed. Chasing downstairs is Hamilton. It begins 0-1. Hamilton's final game of the first half, July 1st here at the Duck Pond in a 2-1 loss to Wausau, went 0-3 in 4 plate appearances, drawing 1 walk but striking out 3 times. 0-1 pitch, and on the hands, this one blooped into right center field. It's going to touch down for a 1-out single. Hamilton aboard for the middle of the Madison order awaiting in the wings. Corbin Dickerson is another name that the Raptors are very familiar with from the first half. I think you could say most of this Madison lineup, even the starting pitcher on the hill tonight for the Mallards, you could echo the same saying for the Jeffersonville, Indiana native and a freshman outfielder from the University of Louisville. Played 18 games with Madison a season ago and 22 games in the first half of the 2024 summer. Moore out of the stretch, working third base side of the rubber. Comes set, first pitch to Dickerson. Fastball shot in the air, center field, sending Teal back. Able to sprint and get to a spot, turn and camp underneath to make the grab for the second out of the inning. Runner on first, two away for Blake Guerin. Garen, the Shoreview, Minnesota native, now having his younger brother out in the bullpen. That being Tyler Garen, also committed to the University of Iowa, a 6'7 right-hander. But Garen played in 24 games and was a .340 hitter in the first half for the Mallards. Did not play at Wisconsin Rapids that weekend series Friday, Saturday of the 21st and 22nd. Was out of the lineup in both games at Witter Field. Righty on righty battle. First pitch for Morta Garen. Breaking ball on the outside corner is called a strike. Similar to Hamilton, Garen's last game of the first half was that July 1st loss to Wausau. And he also went 0-for-3 and drew a walk. Did not strike out three times, though, did Blake. Prior to the 0-1, a pickoff move from Moore to McGuire over at first base, giving Davis Hamilton a look. Uniform matchup tonight, Madison in their home whites, white tops, white slacks with the yellow trimming. Raptors, their alternate black road hats with their maroon uniforms and their black slacks. 0-1 breaking ball, check swing on the appeal to first. Yes, he did, said Jacob Cackett. It is 0-2 here on the Mallard first baseman. Another Louisville product in the on-deck circle. That is the catcher, Will Vierling. Justin Best will follow. No balls, two strikes, runner on first, two outs. Bottom of the first inning, Bryson Moore looking for a scoreless first frame here at the Duck Pond to begin the second half of the season. The payoff. That one bounced in and over the shoulder of Duggar. That'll ricochet out directly to the right of Madison's dugout down the third base side, and advancing to second on the wild pitch is Davis Hamilton. So a runner out in scoring position now for Garen, still trailing in the count here at a ball and two strikes. Mentioned came down to the final couple of games for the first half of this Great Lakes West Division, Madison and Wausau. Two very, very strong teams in the first half. I know as the Raptors seeing both teams frequently in the first half, they'll see Wausau eight times this month as well. Two high-octane offenses. Ball and two strikes on Garen. Morissette looks back to second. The next delivery. Fastball hit on a line. Foul down the first baseline into the stands. We'll do the 1-2 again. Bryson Moore to throw his 19th pitch of the inning here. Took him 11 pitches to strike out Jake Schaffner to begin the frame. After a quick base knock of Damus Hamilton and a flyout, first pitch swinging was Corbin Dickerson to dead center field with Aiden Teal on the prowl. Moore comes set, hands down at the belt buckle for the 1-2. With seven on the pitch clock, he fires. Breaking ball missing low and away. Garen's worked an even count here at 2-2. Dickerson, Garen, and Cal Fisher, the three right-handed hitters in the lineup for Madison tonight. Going left-handed heavy here against Moore and the Raptors staff. Wisconsin Rapids countering with four left-handed bats to five right-handed bats of their own. The 2-2. Breaking ball missing low and away. Blocked by Duggar. Kept in front. Staying out at second is Hamilton. But it's now a full count here on Blake Garen with first base open. Beautiful night for baseball here in Madison. Little on the warmer side, but that's all right after seeing some weather that we had throughout June. More set. Four on the pitch clock. The 3-2 pitch. Fastball, this one hit in the air down the first baseline. That'll find the seats. Another 3-2 coming here from Bryson Moore to Blake Garen. After this home-and-home with Madison, the Raptors get a two-game home series Friday, Saturday. It's a Firework Friday here at Winter Field. It's the Green Bay Rockers coming to town for the second and third time this season. Another 3-2 here from Bryson Moore to Blake Garen. The payoff pitch, breaking ball, hit in the air right center field. Agati and Teal giving chase into the gap. It'll be Aiden Teal calling off Jorge to make the grab and retire the side. One out single for Davis Hamilton, but he's left out on the bases. We are scoreless through an inning of play here at Warner Park on your home for Rafter Baseball, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Summer is finally here and outdoor adventure awaits. Get your adventure rolling with a camper from Greenway RV. As a family-owned dealership with 9 top 50 dealer awards for excellent customer service, they know the importance of quality time with loved ones. Plus, as a Route 66 network dealer, you can travel with peace of mind knowing help is just a phone call away. So kick off your next adventure with Greenway RV. You know you're in good hands. 8220 Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids or online at greenwayrv.com.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. Yeah. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this. If this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about milk producers,
I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Max McGuire will lead off this top of the second inning. 0-0 the score. Andy Yochum returning to you as always on Rafter Radio. It's the first game of the second half of the season. Coley Kilpatrick, the right-hander for the Madison Mallards, out to do work against McGuire. Jorge Degatti and Trotter Boston to lead off this inning. 4-5-6. McGuire coming off a red-hot first half of the season, a .322 hitter in 24 games. Has had the last two games off, though, did not play the seven-inning shortened game at Fond du Lac on Saturday and had the day off Sunday as well. Nice and fresh and recharged is Max here in Madison tonight. First pitch from the right-hander, Kilpatrick, a breaking ball. Top right corner of the zone is called a strike. No runs, no hits, no errors for Wisconsin Rapids. No runs on a hit and no errors for Madison. The 0-1 pitch, McGuire hits this breaking ball into the air left field, giving chase back out near the warning track and making the grab is Frankie Carney for the first out of the inning. Four straight retired by Coley Kilpatrick to begin this ballgame. Jorge Degatti, the next Rafter hitter he gets to face. Degatti had played 39 games for the Rafters a summer ago and led the team in average amongst qualified hitters at .328. Had a pretty on-par first half of the season in which he played 24 games for the Rafters and hit .325. First pitch, fastball right down the chute from Coley Kilpatrick is called the strike. As mentioned in the pregame show, Degatti's final game of the first half was the team's final game on Sunday. A 1 pitch, so misses low and away, count evens a ball and a strike. Degatti was 0-for-1 in 4 plate appearances, did draw 3 walks, and scored on all 3 of his trips around the bases. The 1-1. Breaking ball swung on and missed. Degatti chasing low and away on that one. Count now 1-2. When you look at the month of July, it's who do the Rafters play a lot of? Andy, who do I need to get ready to hear you say their name all the time? This month, folks, it's Wausau. We play the Woodchucks 8 different times as the 1-2 breaking ball is swung on and missed. 2 up, 2 down for Coley Kilpatrick here in the second inning. It'll be the Woodchucks with a home-and-home starting Sunday, Monday at Athletic Park, 1:05 Sunday afternoon, and back at Winter Field. It's the first Monday night game for the Rafters all season long, 6:35 first pitch at Winter Field. Then a couple of days where it's a home-and-home with Green Bay before Wisconsin Rapids hosts Wausau for a doubleheader next Thursday, July 11th, similar to what the Woodchucks did a few weeks prior with the Rafters at Athletic Park. First pitch breaking ball from Kilpatrick to the left-handed hitting Boston is called a strike. Should say missed low for ball one right near the zone. Boston from Roswell, New Mexico, sticking around with the team for the second half of the season. The Tabor College redshirt junior played in 30 first half games out of the 33 for Wisconsin Rapids. 1-0 pitch. Misses as well to Boston. 2 balls and no strikes here on the Raptor third baseman. On deck is Walker Buchanan. Aiden Teal will follow. Boston scored 2 runs in his last game of the first half of the season. Did not play Sunday as the 2-0 pitch misses out in the right-handed batter's box. Now 3-0. Scored 2 runs and 4 plate appearances in that shortened 6-5 loss to Fondi in 7 innings on Saturday. The 3-0 pitch, fastball dotted on the outer third, called a strike from Kilpatrick. 3 balls and a strike. Kilpatrick looking for back-to-back 3-up, 3-down frames against Rafter hitting here tonight. The 3-1, this one is cranked foul down the right field line. That'll find the seats. It's now 3-2 on Boston. Three balls, two strikes. McGuire led off the inning flying out to left field. Degatti followed by striking out. The 3-2. This is down for ball four. Boston draws a 6-pitch walk. He's the first Rafter to reach the bases here tonight. It comes with 2 outs in the top of the second inning. Walker Buchanan was a fantastic addition to this Rafter team midway through the first half. He played in 16 first-half games for Wisconsin Rapids. The Jupiter, Florida native was a 3-11 hitter in 61 at-bats. Went 1-for-4 in the 8-4 victory Sunday afternoon at Witter Field.